Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to begin reading at verse 32 of this chapter, and then read through verse 45. Mark 10, beginning at verse 32, what we hear now is God's Word. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise." And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "Do you know what you are asking? Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they became indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we come to the end of a rather long series of sermons on the Gospel of Mark. I think this is about sermon 30 or so. We have spent our time looking at the ministry and life of Jesus in Mark. I thought about going on perhaps next week and dealing with the story of the healing of Bartimaeus, but we have seen Jesus' power in healings before, and thought perhaps it was better to end with what is really in many ways the heart of the book of Mark. Mark 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus Christ, the ransom. We have seen Jesus do many things. We have seen him heal the sick. We have seen him feed the multitudes. We have seen him raise the dead. And while all of those things were a witness to his power and a witness to his ministry, they were not the primary purpose of his ministry. Jesus came to preach and teach, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." And he came to accomplish that gospel, that good news, that God came to save sinners. He himself would be the ransom for fallen men and women. Tonight, we look at that focus of Jesus' work. One more time. We have seen his power, we have seen his majesty, but now we see what he came to do. He came not to be served. He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom. What is a ransom, children? That's a word that we don't use very much today. Maybe sometimes we see on the news a story of someone who has been taken and there is a ransom required to get that person back. A ransom is exactly that. It is a payment. It is giving something to get something back. We sometimes use the word redemption along with ransom. Now, redemption is a word we don't often use either, but maybe you've heard the word redemption in terms of coupons that you might use. You know, if you go to Casey's Bakery and you get their low-fat yogurt, they have a punch card. And if you get enough yogurts, you can take that punch card and give it to them, redeem it, and they'll give you a free yogurt. If you go to Pizza Fresco and you order enough pizzas, they give you a punch card. And if you fill it up, you can give that punch card to them and get something back. Let's see. What other businesses where my children work can I promote tonight? The principle of giving something to get something back. That's a ransom. That's redemption. And we see that principle of giving something to get something back throughout Scripture. Already in the Old Testament, the picture of a ransom is given. A ransom for many different types of things. Land could be ransomed. Land could be bought back. There was a principle in the law in Leviticus chapter 25. The land was supposed to remain with the families to whom it was given. The land was not to go outside the family clan. And in Leviticus 23 we read, "The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. And all in the country you possess, you shall allow a redemption of the land. If your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then his nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold." If a man was poor and had to sell some land, someone else could come and pay a price and get that land back. They gave something to get something back. Land could be ransomed. Probably the most famous story of land being ransomed is found in Ruth chapter 4. Boaz ransoms land that Ruth had to get rid of. A wonderful story, Ruth chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. We won't look at that tonight, but maybe later this week. You might want to look at that chapter. Land could be ransomed. Animals could be ransomed. Again, from the law of God, this time from Exodus chapter 13. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine.'" We read then in verse 11, "When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it as yours, and you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb, all the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck." God said, all the firstborn of the animals belong to me. They are mine. But a donkey was a valuable animal, valuable to work the land, valuable to help in the farming. So God made provision for that donkey to be bought back. If you will offer a lamb, if you will give something, you can get the donkey back for your use. If not, you must kill it, for it belongs to God. Animals could be ransomed. Land could be ransomed. Animals could be ransomed. People could be ransomed. Again, from Israel's history, this time Numbers chapter 3. And I read from verse 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Behold, I have taken the Levites from among the people of Israel, instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the people of Israel. The Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. God makes the principle that the firstborn belong to Him. But instead of taking all the firstborn of all the people, He says, I will declare the Levites, this one particular tribe, I will take them, and the firstborn then belong to everyone else. The principle of taking something to get something back. Land could be ransomed. Animals could be ransomed. People could be ransomed. To give something to get something back. But what we notice that is kind of similar in all of these cases is there was a sense of inability for the person to ransom themselves. The one who had the land and was forced to sell it couldn't pay the redemption price, couldn't pay the ransom price himself. Someone else had to do it. There was a sense of another coming in, another working for the benefit of the one who was being ransomed. There was a substitution going on. We see that in the ransom of animals. Rather than taking the donkey, there was a substitution going on. A lamb was given, a much less useful animal, that the donkey could be redeemed. A substitution. With the people of Israel, not all the firstborn taken anymore, but now a substitution. The Levites, the tribe, would be taken. The ransom provided by another. A substitute given for that which was ransomed. And that is the background of Jesus' words in Mark 10, verse 45. Even the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. There was a ransom that had to be paid to redeem God's people. A ransom that could not be paid by those people themselves. So a substitution had to be made. Jesus comes and says, I am the one. I am the one who will give up my life for their life. I am the one who has come to redeem, to buy back. I am the one who is the ransom for many. For whom was that ransom given? Well, Jesus says, the ransom for many. We have spent, I suspect, enough time in our morning sermons talking about limited atonement that I need not spend much time reminding you tonight about it. Jesus does not say, I have come to be a ransom for all. We must not fall into the trap to believe that somehow, in the end, in some way, everyone ends up being ransomed. That's not biblical. That's not what the text says. But He came to be a ransom for many. He came to be a ransom for each and every one of God's people. Oh, there is a limit to the atonement. But notice, He doesn't say, I came to be a ransom for few. I came to be a ransom for many. Many who are chosen, many who are elect, many who are called by God, many who know the joys of salvation. Jesus Christ is echoing here the language of the prophets, particularly of Isaiah, that familiar text in Isaiah 53. Isaiah, who speaks about this one who would come, and he says, Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The exchange, the substitution. And the chastisement that brought us peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Isaiah finishes that section by saying, Therefore, I will divide Him a portion among the many, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong. because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus bore the sins of many. Who were those many? The transgressors. The fallen. The sinful. Jesus, as we saw last time, did not come first of all for the rich young rulers, for the movers and shakers in society, for the wealthy alone. When the disciples saw that, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. Well, then who can be saved? If not the rich, who can be saved? Jesus came to pay the price for transgressors, for the fallen, for the sinful, for those like his disciples. Jesus, in John 10, verse 32, for the third time in the gospel, predicts his death. He tells them what is going to happen. He will be mocked. He will be spit on. He will be flogged, and they will kill him. And the next thing we read is that two of his disciples, James and John, want something from him. Jesus has predicted his death. A cruel death. And yet their thoughts are not, first of all, of him. How can we minister to you? But how can you minister to us? Selfish followers of Jesus. They come with this bold request. Jesus, we want you to do whatever we ask. What is it you ask? When you come into your kingdom, we want you to give that one of us sit on your right hand, one of us sit on your left hand. The principal places of authority. We want prominence. We want power. He had spoken of his suffering. He had spoken of his death. And they were concerned about their position. Self-interest. Selfish concern for their place. Jesus asked them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" These pictures of drinking the cup or being baptized are pictures of suffering. The cup is the cup of God's wrath that would be poured out upon him. Jesus says in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Lord, if it is possible, take this cup from me." And they glibly answer, "Oh, we can do it too." Can you be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? We often highlight the fact that baptism is a picture of our new life in Christ, but do not forget the other side of that biblical picture. Baptism is being buried in death with Jesus Christ and then being raised to life. Jesus says, "Can you be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Are you prepared to go to death and suffering along with me?" "We can," they say. "We can do it." They want to secure their place in the kingdom. Jesus answers, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right and at my left is not mine to grant." You can almost feel the hearts of these two drop. They thought they had secured their place. Jesus says, "Can you do this?" They say, "We can do this." He says, "You will do this." But the places of prominence, the places of power, they are for my Father to give. They would suffer along with him. They would drink the cup. They would be baptized. but not for the position, for the authority that they longed for. Self-interest. Not concerned about Jesus, concerned about themselves. And then the rest get involved too. The 10 are indignant when they hear about what James and John have done. Now, we don't know why, but one might suspect that they had the same idea. They had been with Jesus, they'd been learning from Him, traveling with Him. They wanted a place too, a prominence in the kingdom. And James and John got there first. And Jesus says, it's not to be that way with you. Don't think about your place. In fact, the last time He predicted His death, the same response. He would tell them about being humble, being servants of others. No, He says to His disciples, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. Don't be like the world. Don't be like the Gentiles. Don't be like those looking for power, for authority, for position. No, He says, if you want to be great, you must be the servant of all. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. He says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus paid the ransom for many. He paid the ransom for those like His disciples. Selfish, unconcerned about Him, wanting their own place, wanting their own position, not thinking about what might happen to Him, but concerned for their own comfort. For the proud, for the boastful, for the self-centered. And yet it is exactly in that I take great comfort. Jesus did not come for those who were first of all seeking Him and caring about Him. But He came for the sinner. He came for the lost. He came for the selfish. He came to redeem them from their sin. If He came for the best and for the brightest, how many of us would be left out? But He came for the proud, for the boastful, for the self-centered. He came for sinners. And in that, I am comforted. Not one of the best and the brightest. Not one of the power brokers and rulers of the world, but simply a fallen sinner. That's the ones for whom the ransom was paid. Those like the disciples, those like me, those like you, the ones God has chosen. He came to give His life a ransom for many. For many. Not for the entire world, but for each and every one who would believe in Him. That's the call again tonight. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have to clean yourself up before coming to Him. You don't have to make yourself look good before coming to Him. You don't have to attain position before coming to Him. He came for transgressors. He came for sinners. He came for us. Put your faith. Put your hope, put your trust in that Jesus, the ransom for many of the sinners, for many of the transgressors. He came to pay a price. What was that price that was paid, children? It was not a coupon for a local business. He came to pay a price. 1 Peter speaks about the price that He came to pay. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, we reread, you know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. The price that he paid was not silver, was not gold, was not a coupon, was not any money. But he came to pay with his very life. His blood poured out for the sins of many. Christ's life. He speaks about what that giving up of his life would look like in that third foretelling of his death. He says in verse 33, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes." He would be delivered over to those who were trying to catch him. He would be betrayed into their hands by one of his own. Judas himself, one of the 12, would betray Jesus, one of his closest confidants. And Jesus knows it, and he continues to set his face toward Jerusalem to pay the price. He will be delivered over to the chief priests, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. He would be condemned to death. He knew this. He would be going to a mock trial where, although he was innocent, without blemish, like a lamb without spot, he would be delivered over to the Gentiles, his own people wanting nothing to do with him, but delivered over to the world. He came to give up his life, betrayed, condemned, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him, mocking Jesus, the Son of God, mocking who he was, what he came to do. Oh, he came to save others. Himself he cannot save. If you are the Christ, come down from the cross. Mocked by those around him, mocked by the scribes, mocked by the Pharisees, mocked by the church of the day. He knew this, and he came to pay the price. They would spit on him. They would whip him. Wounded not only in spirit, but in body. And he says, they will kill him. A cruel crucifixion on a cross. The description of a crucifixion is so graphic and so horrid that I hesitate to bring things up like that, lest our children have nightmares tonight. But it was a cruel death. It was a painful death. It was an excruciating death. And he knew that. And he set his face toward Jerusalem, that he might offer up his life as the price of redemption, to ransom his people, to ransom them from their sins. Knowing this glorious truth, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. How we are called to embrace that glorious sacrifice of Christ, to humble ourselves before him, to with gratitude embrace this glorious gift of God. The one who would go all the way to death, to mocking, to spitting, to whipping, to crucifixion itself. How we are called, in response to that great gift, having been purchased, having been bought, having been redeemed, to offer ourselves in service to others, as our Lord did, as our Master did, to follow his instruction. He came not to be served, he came to serve. And those for whom the price was paid must serve as well. Serve God above all, serve our neighbors, love them as ourselves. Jesus Christ was a ransom. A ransom for his people, a ransom for many. If he was your ransom, if he paid the price for you, and you get a small glimpse of the glory of that crucified death and his perfect sacrifice, you are called tonight to once again commit yourself to following after him, to once again commit yourself to living as he would have you live. He gave up everything. He knew it, And yet he went to Jerusalem knowing what would happen. He calls forth from us the response of thanksgiving, the response of gratitude, the response of obedience to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we cannot begin to fathom the depth of what it meant for Christ to redeem us. But we thank you for it. That he would offer himself as a ransom for fallen humanity. For the proud. For the boastful. For the self-seeking. For us. Lord God, may his sacrifice well up within us the response of gratitude, the desire to serve you, the desire to serve others. And may you fan that into flame in the week to come, O God, as we seek to honor you in our homes, in our work, in our schooling, in our recreation. May all we do be done to say thank you for Jesus Christ, the ransom. Hear our prayer, for it is offered in Jesus' name. Amen.